From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. President Obama is in Japan, where he'll be attending another economic summit, this one focusing on the Asia-Pacific region. Before departing the G20 summit of the world's largest economies in South Korea, the president said while he and his fellow leaders put off addressing specific steps, there was broad agreement on what's needed to boost and sustain a global economic recovery.
We agreed that growth must be balanced. Countries with large deficits must work to reduce them, as we are doing in the United States, where we're on track to cut our deficit in half by 2013, and where I'm prepared to make tough decisions to achieve that goal. Likewise, countries with large surpluses must shift away from unhealthy dependence on exports and take steps to boost domestic demand.
That last remark aimed in part at China, whose president pledged at the summit to do just that. The BBC's Andrew Walker says the leaders also agreed to avoid competitive devaluation of their currencies.
That language leaves room for interpretation. China, for example, one of the countries most criticized for its currency policy, could argue that it's limiting the rise of the yuan rather than actively devaluing it. On trade imbalances, the G20 agreed to develop indicators of when surpluses or deficits need to be corrected.
The BBC's Andrew Walker in Seoul. Newsweek magazine is merging with the website The Daily Beast. NPR's Tamara Keith reports the deal brings together a fledgling new media company with a magazine that's established but struggling.
The merger creates the Newsweek Daily Beast Company. It will be led by Daily Beast editor Tina Brown, who jumped to the web 2 years ago after a career in the magazine world. Newsweek, which has been on the decline in recent years, will continue as a weekly printed magazine, but its web presence will be absorbed by The Daily Beast. Speaking on NPR's Morning Edition, Brown said this merger will allow both operations to amplify their footprint.
It's a great sort of dual platform. We're going to offer our writers, photographers, artists of all kinds, as well as our marketers, really, a kind of double hit.
This also makes Brown the first female editor of Newsweek, which she says is very exciting. Tamara Keith, NPR News, Washington.
Hundreds of supporters of pro-democracy leader Aung San Suu Kyi are massing outside her home in Myanmar and her political headquarters there in anticipation of her possible release. The BBC's Alistair Leithhead says the Nobel Peace Prize winner's house arrest officially ends this weekend.
There was increased police activity outside her home in University Avenue in Rangoon. And her supporters, who've been publicly counting down the days to the end of her current term of house arrest, have been gathering at the old headquarters of her political party in anticipation of her release. Her latest 18-month sentence is coming to an end, and following the country's first election in 20 years, there's increasing speculation the ruling generals may sanction her release.
This is NPR News. In Afghanistan, a suicide car bomber has detonated a blast as a NATO convoy passed by. Outside Kabul, an Afghan soldier and a NATO service member were wounded in that attack. NATO is saying at least 15 insurgents have been killed in fierce clashes with NATO and Afghan forces in Helmand Province, 15 other suspected militants detained there. Jet engine maker Rolls-Royce has identified the cause of the engine failure on a Qantas A380 jetliner last week that forced an emergency landing and the grounding of the airline's fleet of those planes. Larry Miller reports a faulty bearing box led to oil leaks. The company is pledging to fix the problem.
Rolls-Royce says once the defective parts are replaced, there'll be inspections by aviation regulators before the planes are allowed back into the air. Leaks or oil stains were discovered on 6 of the 20 Airbus 380s that use the Trent 900 engines. 9 planes have been grounded by Qantas, Lufthansa, and Singapore Airlines. The A380 is the world's largest airliner. It can carry more than 500 passengers. This Rolls-Royce report echoes an earlier one by the European Aviation Safety Agency, which ordered airlines to ground planes showing oil leaks in the suspect engines. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
The more than 3,000 passengers from a crippled Carnival cruise ship have spent their first night back on dry land, enjoying their first hot meals and hot showers in days. One of the passengers, Jackie Harlan, says she got tired of cold cuts and salads.
We are so tired of salads and wilted lettuce and sandwiches. They were getting really desperate towards the end.
The ship lost power on Monday after a fire in an engine room. The vessel is a Panama flagged ship, so Panama is taking the lead in the investigation of the fire. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News.